Ah, beloved, I'm Pastor Trey, and you're now listening to the New Living Translation. This is Bonafide Bible Talk, because God speaks my language too, and I'm sure enough about to act like it. Let's go. All right, this episode, I got to go off script a little bit. Now, we're still going to do some translation and all that good stuff, but it's going to feel a little bit different, even from the other times where I have revisited a scripture that we've already covered previously. A lot of times when that happens, I end up taking the same exact translation we did, and then I reinsert it into an episode, even as we change the conversation and the framing around it. Now, quiet is kept. I don't really feel bad about doing that, because at the end of the day, I'm a preacher, and that's something that preachers end up doing. There's a whole lot of scriptures in the Bible, but the number is kind of capped. And so people who've been doing that for a while, not that I've been doing it that long, will eventually have to revisit some scriptures. Some of them even tried out the same sermons over and over again. I ain't here to judge. It's just how the game goes. But typically when I do it here, I don't run out the same episode twice. The scripture may be the same. Even my rendering of the scripture is the same. And then we switch some stuff up. But in this particular occasion, I encountered a revelation, if you will, that made me revisit a previous translation altogether. This understanding of a particular concept in the Bible that is made most clear in a particular passage was so paradigm shifting for me that I wanted to share it here in the New Living Translation. And it seemed like the appropriate venue to do so, because a lot of this was grounded in the very concept of language itself. One of the taglines of this podcast is God speaks my language too. And when I say that, I'm affirming the fact that when God is revealed to us, it is necessarily in ways that we can understand. God will never be revealed to me in a way that only you can understand. God will never be revealed to a particular community in a way that only another community can understand. Now, that's going to sound jarring to some people, particularly of the Christian faith and variety, where we believe that God is revealed through a particular community. But the thing about that, my argument here, is that even as that community spreads the truth about God and communicates this truth, the miracle of the Holy Spirit is that they're able to communicate this in ways that people can understand. And one of the things that the love of God looks like is becoming that which God loves. In order to fully love and redeem humanity, this transcendent, immortal God puts on matter, humanity, in the person of Jesus. That is the story of the incarnation. That is one of the truths of this Christian faith that I've inherited. Now, this idea that Jesus is the incarnation of something that always was and always existed is expressed most clearly in the Bible in this concept of logos. Logos is a Greek word, and it's expressing a concept of ancient Greek philosophy, right? When we try to explain it in English, some people relay it as divine reason or something of the sort. When we translate it in English in our Bible, it's rendered as word. Most famously in John chapter 1, verse 1, one of the first scriptures I ever memorized is, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Every time we see the Word in that passage, it's actually talking about the Logos. I talked about this passage, John chapter 1, in an earlier episode, back in season 2 of Translation, an episode called Mysterious Origins. And this passage always speaks loudly to me when I'm trying to get deep, right? When I'm trying to be real spiritual, I'll be looking at this. Oh, the Logos, the Word was in the beginning, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then all that meditation and stuff I'll be doing on these passages got flipped upside down when I was confronted with the fact that if God speaks my language too, God got to speak everybody else's language as well. Kat Armas is a phenomenal writer. I love her stuff. A couple years ago on the Three Black Men podcast, Sam Robb and myself had the chance to interview her about her first book, Abuelita Faith, because Kat is from Miami, where I stay at. She's Cuban. She talks about how the faith that her grandmother had now informs the faith that she holds now. And she recently put out a devotional called Sacred Belonging. It is phenomenal. One of the entries in that devotional, she rolls out this passage, John chapter 1, verse 1. She talks about how the fact that she learned it in Spanish first impacted the way that she understands it. Now, I'm going to read this verse in Spanish, and don't laugh at me, because though I've lived in Miami for my entire adult life, my Spanish ain't nothing to write home about. It's very clear that that is not my first language or my second either. I don't speak fluent Spanish. But in Spanish, that verse that we render in English as, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," reads as, "En el principio era el Verbo, y el Verbo era con Dios, y el Verbo era Dios." Meaning, roughly in English, that in the beginning, at the first, was the Verb, and the Verb was with God, and the Verb was God. And I found that so fascinating, identifying God, divine reason, as the action that creates the world around us. Because the passage goes on to say that everything was created through the Word, or in this case, the Verb, and that nothing that came to be was created except by the Word, or in this case, the Verb. And that was so daggone fascinating to me that I had to share it with somebody. You see, Kat is brilliant, seminary educated and all that, but I felt like more people needed to know about this. So I brought this up on a family call with my mother and my sisters, and all of these are brilliant women in their own right. But one of my sisters stopped me in my tracks, because she ain't go to seminary like me and Kat. But she said something that made me realize God really do be speaking in whatever language we need to hear. So without any further ado, we're going to have some bona fide Bible talk again about John chapter 1 in the beginning. Yeah, we're going to get to John chapter 1, verse 1, I promise. But I need to back into this for a moment before we get to the text. Because I was having this conversation with my family, and I talked about what I'd gotten from this devotional, from Kat Armis's brilliant words, from this Spanish translation, and the idea that somebody else around the world read the same scripture I did, and because God spoke their language, understood this concept in a different language in a different way. This scripture starts in Greek with the Logos, this divine reason, which we now understand as the Word, that Jesus is the living Word. But somebody else understood as the living Verb, that in the beginning was the action, the Verb, and the Verb was with God, and the Verb was God, and through that Verb everything was created, and nothing was created except through that Verb. That was so exciting for me to wrestle with. Like, that's the type of stuff I got into this exact podcast trying to stir in people. The idea that if you can hear the truth of God in a slightly different way, it might stir up something in your spirit that motivates you to live a little bit differently, to grow a little bit closer to the creator of heaven and earth. That is what this is all about for me. And I experienced that. I came to my family, to my mother and my sisters, and I said, "This is amazing. Look at how this looks if we take that into consideration." And one of my sisters was like, "Yeah, at the end of the day, words are just symbols." You ever stop to think about how languages are created? You know, let's picture Adam and Eve in the garden trying to communicate with each other, and they start with grunts until they establish some sort of agreement about what them grunts mean. And you can see that happening in real time with babies, right? They trying to figure out how to communicate with us. At first, all they sound the same. You don't know if they pee themselves, if they hungry or sleepy. It's all the same thing until they learn to find the right words to communicate exactly what it is they need. These words that we have are just symbols. It's a reason why a perfectly intelligent person on one side of the planet will communicate the same exact thing in completely different language with completely different grunts and sounds and words than somebody on the other side of the planet. These are communal agreements. God is not bound by our language. The only thing that is bound by our language is the way that we communicate. So I got excited about this idea as God, as Verb, as action. And when I shared that, my sister was like, "I've always thought about that as the intention. The Logos is the divine intention." And here I was, yet again, floored by this one little bitty piece of scripture. Now, anytime I come across an idea like this, I start going back to the text and plugging things in and see if it still works, if the scripture itself still holds up, if the meaning is similar, even with these alterations in understanding, if this is indeed spirit led. Would somebody who was in that upper room in Acts chapter 2 been able to communicate the truth of God in this way? And so I started plugging this intention into the scripture. And here's what I came away with. In the beginning was the intention. And the intention was with God. And the intention was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. And the scripture goes on to say in John chapter 1, verse 14, the intention became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And when I got through that particular exercise, I started shouting in a room with nobody but me, because that thing was preaching to me. In the beginning was the intention. And through that intention, all things were made. And that intention became flesh and dwelt among us. That's a whole gospel presentation right there, because my sister decided that she was going to let God speak her language. We haven't changed anything about the meaning, only the way that we are understanding. I got to see God in higher definition by hearing God speak in my language. Here's the funny thing about intentions. We all have the capability to set them. And so as I was sitting there reflecting on what it means that in the beginning was the intention, the intention was with God, and the intention was God, I thought to myself, what would it mean if I took setting intentions as a sacred practice, a way of connecting with the image of God that is within me? And so I started this experiment after I had this conversation, where each and every night I journal. It's a habit I've maintained for years now. But I said, I'm going to end every journal entry by setting an intention for the next day, if I'm fortunate enough to experience it. And I sat with the idea that nothing is created but by the intention, that everything that comes to be is through the intention. And so I started trying to be more intentional with my intentions, because I recognize that we have creative power in these intentions. That is what it means to be made in the image of God. And y'all, I got to report to the class that since I've adopted this particular practice and this way of thinking about the word, about the verb, the action, about the intention, that my days have taken a little bit of a different shape, because I go to sleep with the intention on my mind and I wake up with the intention on my mind. And because the intention is already there, things come to being through the actions that I'm taking. There's a guiding principle going on here. And even as I wrestle with what that means in my personal life, who Jesus is makes a whole lot more sense. That from the foundations of the earth, God had an intention. And that intention is made clear to us in the way that Jesus lives his life. And so if the very intention of God is found in the person of Jesus, because that intention becomes flesh and makes its dwelling among us, then what do we learn about God's intention through Jesus? God's intention has always been for our wholeness, for our healing, for our redemption. God's intention has always been that we might be in communities defined by love, and not just by claiming to believe the right things. God's intention has been intimacy this whole time, because it's through intimacy, love, through connection with all of creation, that we're able to overcome all of the things that are not part of God's intention. And so when I reflect on the intention of God, it helps me to reframe and redirect my own intentions. And when I am intentional about my own intentions, it changes the ways that I navigate the world around me. And that has been a blessing. That has been a revelation, the sort of revelation I can find hope in. So let me pray with you. creator of heaven and earth, who holds the intentions from the beginning, identifies with that intention, and creates through that intention. We thank you that your intention has always been an expression of your unfailing love. And now, God, we ask that because you have made us in your image, you would help us to remain intentional. Amen. Appreciate you joining us for another episode of the New Living Translation. Don't forget to show us some love by leaving us a rating and a review. If you got a Bible question you want to see us wrestle with on the show, go ahead and leave us a voicemail at 305-290-1190. Once again, that's 305-290-1190. To see what else I got going on, to find out where you can follow me, or find out how you can reach out to me so we can rap a little bit, visit PastorTrey05.com. There you can listen to the Three Black Men podcast, subscribe to my newsletter, The Sun Do Move, or find out where you can buy my book, Theologizing Bigger, Homilies on Living Freely and Loving Holy. All of that, so much more available at PastorTrey05.com. There should be a link to it in the show notes for you. The New Living Translation is a production of Three Black Men, Theology, Culture, and the World Around Us. A lot of this work is made possible by the generous contributions of people in our Patreon community. If you'd like to support us, you can do so at patreon.com/threeblackmen. Also linked in the show notes. Until we meet again, beloved, remember, real recognize real. Don't get caught looking unfamiliar.